A product complaint gets ugly both in cyberspace and in real space.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Sony's PlayStation gaming network is back functioning to its usual standards today after being crippled for a time by a major cyber attack this weekend. And that's just one part of a strange business of entertainment story today. Our reporter Kate Davidson joins us with more. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Sony is emphasizing the personal info of its millions of users was not compromised during this attack. But what did happen?
Well, this was one of those distributed denial of service attacks. The PlayStation Network is what allows people to play games online, and someone flooded it with artificially high traffic and overwhelmed it. And while it looks like Sony was hardest hit, other networks were also targeted. So, David, if you had trouble making a dungeon run with your World of Warcraft guild, that might be why.
That explains it. So who or what was allegedly behind this cyber attack?
Well, a Twitter user known as Lizard Squad has been openly gloating about the attack. It's been described as kind of a hacker vandal collective. In one tweet, it implied it was trying to pressure Sony into using its profits to improve its PlayStation network. Sony did have a huge security breach several years ago where account information was accessed, and it just recently agreed to a $15 million court settlement for that.
And this cyber assault was accompanied by an additional non-digital threat?
Listen to this. In addition to openly mocking Sony and the FBI, Lizard Squad publicly tweeted a bomb scare at American Airlines. It was about a flight carrying Sony's online entertainment president. The flight was diverted. He was fine. Sony says the FBI is investigating.
Kate Davidson, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Microsoft is expected to unveil a new version of its Windows operating system next month. The last one, Windows 8, was nice enough, but did not take the world by storm. But since then, Microsoft has gotten a new CEO, Satya Nadella, and as Marketplace's David Gura reports, Windows 9 could say a lot about his vision for the company.
Microsoft's customers didn't exactly embrace Windows 8, especially its corporate customers. Al Gillen is a tech analyst with IDC.
If anything, the operating system tended to get in the way more than help you get your work done.
Windows 8 was designed for touchscreens, but many of us still rely on regular old PCs with keyboards. Microsoft analyst Brendan Barnicle is with Pacific Crest Securities, and he says that while the next version of Windows will look different, in a way, that's beside the point.
You know, I think the biggest difference is going to be around distribution, where we start to see something that's generally a cloud-based version.
Microsoft's new CEO has adopted a cloud-first strategy. Satya Nadella has also made some personnel changes since he started. Morningstar's Norman Young says Nadella remade Microsoft's engineering department. That is reflected in the timing of this release.
Usually development times for operating systems for Microsoft took multiple years.
Analysts say Microsoft is moving toward introducing a new version of its operating system annually. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Japan has resumed exporting rice grown in the Fukushima region for the first time since the nuclear power disaster in 2011. A shipment of 650 pounds of rice sold out quickly at a big supermarket in Singapore. That local success could help reopen markets beyond Singapore for struggling Japanese farmers. The BBC's Ashley Neem reports from Singapore.
I'm standing at the entrance of Mediya, the only Japanese supermarket in Singapore. As soon as you walk through the doors, you can't miss a big sign advertising rice from Fukushima. Shuji Nagoshi is the shop's managing director.
In this test case, we brought in 60 bags. And within 24 hours, half of it has been sold already.
Trade representatives are taking this opportunity by the horns. One official is telling customers that the rice is safe to eat and sticky and sweet. No rice grown in Fukushima has been exported for more than 3 years. But Fukushima's farmers are hoping this campaign could change their fortunes around. The rice on sale here was harvested in Sukugawa City, about 60 kilometers west of the nuclear plant. Akihiko Kikuchi from Japan's National Federation of Agricultural Cooperative Associations insists that it's passed strict tests both in Japan and here in Singapore.
Why did you choose Singapore as your first export market?
Singapore is very strict about food safety, so we hope now it's been approved here, people realize that it's safe.
At the cashier, I could only find a few shoppers who were buying it.
We don't mind the rice.
Are you also trying to support the people of Fukushima?
Yeah, because I'm Japanese and I'm living in Singapore.
Fukushima's farmers may have a tougher time selling their rice to local Singaporeans. Japanese rice made up less than 1% of Singapore's total rice imports last year. But this campaign is not necessarily about the volume of sales, but winning the approval of buyers in Singapore, which has some of the highest food safety standards in Asia. The farmers believe if they can sell it here, they can sell it anywhere.
Ashley Neem reports from Singapore for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Another story we're following this morning, word that Tim Hortons of Canada might merge with Burger King. BK has fallen to number 3 in the U.S. behind Mickey D's and Wendy's. It would be one of those so-called tax inversions in which Burger King's tax home moves to a foreign land, i.e. Canada, to save taxes. For more on cases where these inversions save corporate taxes but cost shareholders extra tax, go to marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.